Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Pete's here. You're not working this game, right? Or are you working this game?
Oh, yeah, we're working.
You're working?
It's just ESPN.
Just ESPN. It's a 2:45 a.m. start. Is that, have they moved it back again?
Yeah, how about that?
Man,
I know. My wife is not happy with the 8:30 start. She bagged out, so, yeah.
Yeah. I told you I was thinking about it, and I went, eh. First of all, there's an 80% chance I'll just stay at Dermot's. So, you know, I'll have tickets, and we'll just stay there. So I'll be watching Pete and Michael Grady on FanDuel. So 8 o'clock pregame. Yeah. It's not going to tap until 8:45, 8:50.
Right. It's going to be like a West Coast game.
Yeah, you're in the district, as the natives like to call it, with the Wolves and Wizards. Mm-hmm. And as usual, I'm annoying you by texting you during the game. And I had not thought about how lucky we were that about 20 years ago, we had a tour of the White House.
20 plus. It was, wasn't it not too long after 9/11? I feel like it was like 2002, 2003, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Could we get in there in 2002? I don't know. We ended up,
that's true.
We ended up getting in combination, but mainly Jim Ramstead. Jim Ramstead, the Rammer, who I've known almost my entire life, and great, great, great human being. We could use more Jim Ramsteads just in life. Forget politics, just in life. And Jim Ramstead was great friends with our great friend, Bob Getters, who for decades was the Wolves' security guy at Target Center.
Rammer and Jimmy Williams used to... assistant coach with the Gophers, used to run together all the time.
Oh, I believe it.
Back in the day.
I believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah.
We not only had a tour of the White House, but remember we toured the Capitol, right?
So
the amazing thing, and we were so lucky because we were able to go places where most people aren't able to go. But at one point we turn the corner, and I forget what room we're in, but we look out the window, and there is W. What would you say? 20 feet from us, 30 feet from us?
How close, close.
Right?
Yeah, close.
And he's wearing a cowboy hat, a quasi-winter coat, and then tight Lycra workout pants because he was a runner. And he's talking to Karen Hughes, who was his longtime aide going back to Austin. And, you know what? You've been in the NBA. You've met tons of famous people in your life, and because of this job and my father, so if I, you know, and it really, whatever, they're no different than your neighbor, whatever, you know, they all got this stuff. That was still something pretty cool where you're like, we're in the White House, and there's the president like 30 feet from us.
Yep. Yeah, it's something you don't expect to see or experience. You know, it's like, and then Grady, you know, because the whole thing came up, and you were listening to our broadcast, so you heard me talking about Grady brought it up first about, you know, going to the White House to meet you know, with the Lynx. I went there three times. And then I said, actually, four, because of the time that you're recalling right now.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear that part of the conversation. I did not hear
that. Oh, you didn't hear that part?
No.
Okay, so I thought you heard that part of the conversation.
Mm-mm.
Because we were, then he goes, but the thing that, you know, that your real claim to fame is having, you know, the Prince concert.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
Know, the thing. And so I was like, really? It's like, you know, what would you rather do? Would you rather go to the White House and shake President Obama's hand or go to the Prince party? He's like, come on. It's not even close. Going to the Prince concert. So I was like, okay, well, I guess, you know, going to the White House isn't that big of a deal anymore. You know, there was a time when it was a big deal.
I still think it's a big deal. I mean, you know me. I'm not exactly voting for Donald Trump repeatedly. But if all of a sudden I could tour the White House and Trump's right there, I'd be like, this is still pretty cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
now,
no, it was great.
And again, just to remind, and just one last thing on the Capitol. What stunned me about, you know, like the floor of Congress is how small it was. Like I just
very
meant,
small.
It looked so much bigger on TV, and you're like, wow, that's not that big. Now let's go back to the Prince situation, because that's you win, and then you get invited out to, how many people were there for the concert again?
So it was the 2015 championship we won. So it was my last championship with the Lynx. They ended up winning in 16, but I had already, or 17, I should say. It was all the odd years. I finished coaching in 16. And it was, it was all of the ESPN people.
Okay.
Because I actually rode out to Prince's place out there at Paisley Park with the late Todd Harris. I don't know if you know Todd Harris.
Yes.
You probably would have met him during broadcast meetings.
NBA.
But they named an award after Todd Harris. But
yeah.
Todd was
nice
a fantastic person. Guy who...
Yep.
I always saw during all the finals, because I coached in five WNBA finals. You know, it's like, so we saw the league people all the time. So I drove out with the ESPN crew and with Todd Harris. And it was like, they wouldn't let you bring your phone in. So once you got to Paisley Park, you had to check your phone at the door, and they didn't want anybody having their phone. So they had a metal detector. They took your phone. And, you know, I mean, that room that Prince has, like, it's really kind of a quasi, like, concert hall. Like, you could fit probably 500 or more people in there. It might be even 1,000 for all
one,
I know.
One
I mean,
of
that,
my
it was huge.
Biggest music regrets is I never went out there to Paisley Park.
You probably had all kinds of opportunities with the Wickeds and all the people that you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so many people that probably got concert. Because Prince did this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He had those concerts all the time.
Idiotic.
But he literally played, Chad, he played every instrument on stage.
That's amazing.
He sang, he played the drums, he played the keyboard, he played the bass, he played the guitar. I mean, it was so surreal. And when I looked around, there was hardly anybody there, relatively speaking. We only had probably
100
people there.
Okay, so
and that John Breen was there. Like he really,
of course,
I wanted to choke that dude afterwards because
he's a great guy.
John Breen. No, hold on. John Breen is there covering the event, right? And then when he wrote about it, he talked about being blocked out by me. Like you know, I was standing at the front of the stage. Like I'm like, dude, first of all, go stand somewhere else. You've got plenty of choices. Second of all. I belong there. I'm part of the team.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're just a bystander.
We're going to save this because Bream comes on 3-4 times a year. We're going to play
this. Tell him.
I was going to choke. Okay, so let's now think about it. You're at that event with 100 people seeing Prince extraordinarily close, or you get a tour of the White House, and no matter the president – is that close to you as he was with us? Which way are you going?
No, I think that, you know, in retrospect, Grady was right. I mean, the Prince thing was, I would forego the White House.
What if you're talking to the president for an hour?
Nah. Not unless he's going to tell me what happened, you know, like who killed JFK, if he's going to tell me about the aliens.
Well, that's
true.
Level. That's true. It's all hard for you to be objective, too, because this was a celebration for you and your friends, right? The last time I saw Prince, I saw him at the Dakota when he did the six shows. He did I think it might have been Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He did two shows each night. I no connections at all. My former producer, who Dave's still buddies with, Brendan Kieran, we just were starting to air. I go, Kieran, I'm on hold on my phone. Just see. And all of a sudden got tickets. And he had kind of given me the nod a couple times. You remember he's when the Wolves had the KG run, he'd be behind the scenes a little bit. So occasionally I'd give a little nod. And then for the – we were at the Thursday – this is when I was with Jen. We were at the Thursday 11 o'clock show. Walked by, briefly kind of gave me the nod. Like, yeah, I know who you are. Or, you know, the now maybe he gave that nod to everybody, and I'm just thinking, yeah, I got the nod. But, Dave, maybe Prince was giving everybody the nod, and I was acting like I got the nod of the head.
I think that's more likely.
He knew who you were because, I mean, isn't this one of the great Sid Hartman stories
about
your dad interviewing Prince on the rainy, like, Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you the 2-minute version. The greatest PR man in the history of the planet, Bob Hagan, was down in Florida working with the NFL. My father goes, Hagan, I want my pass. He goes there to get his pass. And then when he gets the pass, Hagan goes, Sid, I'd love to stay, but I got to go. I'm in charge of this Prince concert. My father goes, I won't do my impression. My father's horrible. And my father goes, well, I want to meet Prince. And Hagan's like, no, it's not that. It's just not that. He goes, come on, let me go meet Prince, you know. We went to the same high school. So he gets him through the first area.
Yeah.
Similar class.
Yeah. He gets through the first door, no problem. Then the second door, it's very difficult, but he gets him through. And then the last one, he's explaining to the guy, okay, you have to understand the two most famous people in Minnesota are Prince, who's about to have this concert, because he's not doing a press conference. He's doing a concert. Prince and I... And then this guy, and the security guard is like, okay, fine. And Hagan can't believe it. So they're now through three areas where he didn't think he'd get through ever. Well, then all of a sudden, when they get there, like Prince's security comes up like, no, 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 no. Nobody can get here. And so then way down the hall is Prince. And then my father, subtle as he always is, hey, Prince! 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 And according to Hagan, it looks like the security guards are about to kill my father. And then Prince says, wait, wait. And he walks down the hall. Mm-hmm. Mr. Hartman, Prince, how are you?
Prince comes all the way back down the hall.
It's like, and Hagan says, it's like a 40, 50-yard hall, right?
Yeah.
So again, this is my father. You know, this is the Prince. So this is 07. So this is 87-year-old.
There's a little bit of a chasm there, the generation gap.
Yeah, yeah. But then they sat there, according to Hagan, and talked for like 10 minutes. And then, of course, my father acts like, no big deal. I told you we talked to Prince. And Hagan's like, are you kidding me? You know? And so.
Which was a better conversation? The conversation that Sid Hartman had with Prince in that hallway at the Miami Stadium, or the conversation he had with Joe Namath in the shower after the Super Bowl.
He got – well, that's true. Which one did he get more publicity for? The Hagan story gained traction late, but the Namath one, again, for people to forget, he goes out because it's Francis playing Joe Namath. This is when Tarkington is with the Giants. And so he knows he's got Tarkin in his pocket. He can get Tarkin whenever he wants because they're going out to eat after the game. And so he goes to get Namath. And I don't know how Namath knows him, but he says to him, hey, Sid, if you want an interview, you better come here. And it's literally just outside the showers, my father's interviewing. So I just was at the place in the St. Croix, and somebody did this artist rendering of my father in his clothes interview Namath, and Namath with a towel on. So I'll actually it's a painting. I'll take a picture of that painting. I'll show both of you guys it. So
how many people come on this show and are able to get you talking about your dad and all these great stories? You have some of the greatest stories, and people don't get to hear them. I get to hear them on the golf course, but you are this amazing story. You've lived a hell of a life, man. Seriously, you've got a lot of great stories. You and your dad are quite the duo.
I'm lucky. We can talk about the team. Let's pause and actually talk about the Wolves and what's going on. They take on the Golden State Warriors tonight. Michael Grady and Jim Pete will have the great call on FanDuel, probably about 8:45. We'll talk about Edwards, Randall, the team, where they're at, all that with Jim next.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Pete is here. We're closing in on halfway through the Wolves season, and they're about to have a really difficult back-to-back. They get the Knicks Friday at the Garden, and they get the Cavaliers, who've been amazing this year. Warriors tonight, they're just not that good. They got Steph, Kuminga, about every third game's pretty good. Draymond, you don't know what he's going to do. Buddy Hield. Oh, is he hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So even I was Steph the other day saying, don't make any rash trades. You know, think about the long-term organization. That's rather unlike LeBron, who would say trade everybody because I'm here and I want to win right now. When the Wolves are clicking through almost the first half, what is working? And then when it's not working, what concerns you most about the second half in the playoffs?
It's when Jaden's not making shots and Julius decides to try to take the game over and Ant tries to take the game over, but playing in isolation because the other guys aren't making shots. You know what I mean? When Jaden is shooting a ridiculously number, he's sub 30% from the corners. When he's open or wide open, it doesn't really matter. He's still shooting in the low 20s. That's a problem. Mike has not shot the ball effectively. Rudy, they don't guard him all the time the way you'd like him to. He's not been able to score. And so it's when those guys get into iso ball play is what makes me sort of reticent to think that this team could go deep. But when they share the basketball, when they move it, and I think that Finchie moving Dante into a starting lineup, it's added so much to Minnesota's offense. First of all, like, there's more space now because you have to guard Dante. Mm-hmm. And also he's just such a great 3-point shooter, and he's added more pace to the game because we've been, you know, bottom five in pace all season long. And so we don't get easy baskets. So if you don't get easy baskets and you have to grind it out in the half court all the time, Chad, it's not fun to watch. People want to see Ant get out in the open court. We want to see people run. You want to see open basketball
and so, move the ball and so see when, the
yeah,
skills.
So when we're stuck in ISO game and guys aren't making shots, but you know, it's like, it was too bad. The Memphis game was like one of the great Dante games and one of the great Jaden games, and it was just one of the really poor Ant games in that he didn't put his fingerprints on that game at all, really. Neither did Ja until the end.
No.
You know, those two shots that Ja hit. But it's like Ant has the ability to, like, you know, bring us back. We were down, you know, 16 in Houston. The games against Sacramento, the game against San Antonio when he had all those makes at the end of in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter against Washington.
I was just going to say that. Even though they're playing lousy, they're just screwing around through three quarters, and then he just says, okay, enough. And he's great.
But
and
if,
like,
he would have done, if he would have done that for just even a couple of minutes in the Memphis game in the fourth quarter, we win that game. You know,
what he can do is, and he does it at times, and that because we're in this, me, you, Johnny K, and Mune, Jeff Mundick, the greatest Wolves employee ever, this texting thread where we're talking hoops incessantly and have this debate, well, is Ant going to be a top five player? Is he going to be a 5-12 player? My point always is consistency and his all-around play. Because when he wants to be a really good defensive player, he can be. And on the nights he's not making shots, or like that Memphis night when they're basically boxing one, just move the ball. Like, move it quick. Be decisive. Suck that, to quote Finch, suck the gravity towards you, and you'll benefit teammates. And certain nights he wants to do that, and too many other nights he doesn't. And I'm just trying to hold him to the highest bar, because he could be one of the best players in the game. He still is somewhere the 7th, 10th 11th best player already. I'm just saying for him to be at that upper echelon on those nights he's not making shots or they're just all over him, he still can affect the game. Some nights it happens, and other nights he's just kind of angry about it.
Yeah, and, you know, as a team, sometimes we don't guard off-ball coverages, I mean, off-ball actions very well. Like, we get caught up in ball watching sometimes, and sometimes, like, you know, I mean, I pulled a bunch of clips for their pregame show tonight. Like, it's just how Steph Curry drives three-point shots. And so
right.
you know, a lot of what Steph does is off the ball, like the
for
way
sure.
he gets open and stuff like that. And so if you're not paying attention, if you're the big in coverage that's supposed to help with Steph, and this is where Julius has gotten lost a number of times in the two games that we lost to Golden State for sure, because everybody has to be on point to guard Steph Curry. I hate to tell you, like it
yeah.
can't be just on the guy that's guarding Steph, because
yep.
they run all these split actions and they run all these little handoffs, like where Draymond is coming down, and if you're not respecting Draymond and he's got the basketball in his hand, by the way, Steph's coming to get it from him. And if you're not there to help the person that's guarding Steph, Steph's going to rub you off. And these are the things that – these are the little plays like the good teams – make. They don't make these scouting report mistakes as often as our players do. And so Chris Finch, let me tell you something. It's all in the scouting report. It's all there. They're told these things to do. Chris Finch is a tremendous coach, and his staff does a great job getting him prepared. But they've got to do it, Chad. I mean, that's the thing
mm-hmm.
that's where Ant falls short too, because to me, like, he loses focus defensively. It's like he gets bored.
He does get bored
defensively. And so
and sometimes offensively.
Yes, for sure. But if I'm a coach on an opposing team, I put Ant in some up-ball actions and like see if
yeah.
he's going to fall asleep.
Well,
you know, and then
so let's talk Randall a little more, because Finch goes on with PA on a regular basis. I listened a little to that today, and I don't want to say sensitive, but I think Chris, because of his previous relationship with Randall and then knowing how great Carl is playing, that he's acute to the criticism that Julius has heard, and I think plenty of it is justified. He made this point with PA today, how many times that Randall is pitched out for three-point shots, by far better than anybody else. And listen, a lot of guys who score are ball stoppers, okay? Julius really pounds that ball. I wish he would move it more, but he's not going to magically change. It's just, if he can, even if he pounds it more than we would like, but if that leads to open shots, it still works. He has to make sure, because I hear you a lot of games when he gets a rebound, because he does that bully ball, which is good. But a lot of times he's got two, three guys around him. Pass it out. Somebody's wide open. Don't just try to force up with a center and two other bigs inside.
Chad, there's people that when they drive the basketball, like when Draymond isn't the scorer that Julius is. He doesn't have the offensive skill that he does. But when Draymond's driving the basketball, you have the feeling that Draymond is driving it to get it to somebody else.
Correct.
Right?
For sure.
And when Julius drives the basketball, Julius is driving the basketball
for
to
Julius.
Score first, second,
yeah.
third, and fourth.
Yes.
And then when he runs out of options, then he's looking to pass.
Right.
But
correct.
There are more times now where he does. In fact, he has done that a bunch, Chad. Where because of his offensive abilities, and he is a good playmaker. He actually is a good playmaker, and at times it's just that it's when he gets into ISO mode, like the turnover that he had against Memphis. You know what I'm talking about, late
game
where he turned it into an ISO possession. Minnesota, I don't think Ant was even down the floor yet.
No.
And he's taking on the defensive player of the year from 2 years ago,
yep.
you know, Jaren Jackson, and he's taking him one-on-one. And, you know, he gets the ball poked away, and it was a huge possession. Like, it was like,
enormous.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So there's a lot to like about Julius's game. I'm telling you that there is, and he's played better in a lot of ways. I don't think people have given him enough credit, but it's when he does the ISO ball stuff. I think the fans at Target Center are kind of just like, you start hearing him groan a little bit because they're high basketball IQ
mm-hmm.
people,
yep.
right? You can hear him groaning a little bit because the right play is just to move it quickly. And
that's how I was when you had the ball yep. at Williams Arena in the 80s. Pass the ball, Peterson! Pass it!
Yeah. Yes, you were.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right.
That's funny.
That's good. All right. I love you. Let's get together before I might leave here for a little bit And okay. I'll be watching at some point tonight. O'Donovan, somewhere else, my house, but I'll be annoying you somehow.
Good luck.
See ya.
All right.
The best, Jim Peterson. To have the rotation of Jim Peterson and Bill Guerin every other week, we are immensely lucky because they can talk about, obviously, Billy running the show. Jim's super involved. And then we can also talk utter nonsense, and it's just so much fun. Smoking topic. Oh, how much fun is it? Well, for some people, smoking is a lot of fun. Cigarettes, the cost, and what happened today. Let's discuss in moments on the home adjacent to Russia, WCCO. Okay, we got this first one. The real cost of smoking by state. Out-of-pocket costs, financial opportunity costs, health care costs per smoker, income loss per smoker, other costs per smoker. We do know since 64 that smoking-related illnesses have claimed 20 million lives in this country. That is horrendous. 2.5 million, by the way, non-smokers. Just because they're nearby. They are suggesting total cost per smoker in Minnesota that the real cost, $4.7 million. Get out of here. I mean, is this from Meet Minneapolis? Is this, who came up with this fiction?
I think it's the people who announce attendance at all sporting events.
Oh, my God. Smoking cigarettes never did anything for me, ever. There were years and years and years where I smoked pot on a regular basis. Enjoyed it. And the rare times I do now, I still enjoy it. But it's rare. It just, I don't know. I'm not doing it because I'm older. I'm not avoiding because of whatever. I don't know why I don't smoke now. I probably should. But smoking cigarettes, nothing for me. Zero. Yeah, it's terrible for you. I don't like being around it. It can end your lives. It can end the lives of people close to you. But it's... it didn't even give us enough information to justify this $4.7 million, did it? Like, I read this story a couple times. I'm like, how are you suggesting this? Wallet Hub, looked at the true per-person cost of smoking in each of 50 states in D.C., potential monetary loss, lifetime annual cost of cigarette pack per day, health care expenditures, income loss, and other costs. Well, I mean... I guess, did they go with the average age of a smoker who started smoking right away? I mean, we need more information. 4.7 million?
I'd like to know how many smokers make $4.7 million in their lifetime, let alone it cost them that much. You're left with like $8 left over.
None of this message is, hey, you should go out and smoke cigarettes. You've never done it?
No.
I never finished a cigarette in my life. I might have tried three or four times.
It's a very Bill Clinton statement of you. Yeah. I smoked, I never finished.
Yeah, I've also smoked pot a lot.
And you inhaled.
And I loved inhaling. And I think I thoroughly enjoy it. I don't put anybody at risk. I enjoy it. But now, I think I smoked pot twice last year. And had plenty of chances. It'll be legal in 2065 here, you know.
We're working on the pot czar.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, let alone regulations, let alone who should apply. We'll get right to that. But 4.7 million, we're just trying to scare. And for some people, sure. The average person in Minnesota, mm-hmm. what it's cost you smoking is 4.7 million? You're doing well.
Seems like we could get a number that both scares and seems realistic.
Yeah. Now we have this coming out, by the way, just as the Biden administration is ending. The FDA is going to make a big change, capping the nicotine content in cigarettes. They released this. This has been debated forever. They spent years studying the issue, and they said today, again, the FDA about to be replaced. We're just announcing this now on Wednesday when the new guy's coming in Monday. Is the Hunter Biden pardon tied to this? Or
you got to get it in. You got to get it in.
Said Wednesday that cutting nicotine would help nearly 13 million current smokers quit cigarettes within a year. Great. Fabulous. Roughly 48 million more young people would never take up the habit. So the nicotine in cigarettes would be capped at levels that could no longer create and sustain this addiction among people who could smoke. The agency posted this 335-page proposal online Wednesday. You read every word, right?
Twice.
Very impressed.
Took notes.
Very impressed.
Taught a class on it.
So they're saying smoking causes close to 500,000 deaths every single year. So guess what? Now we've got litigation. Potentially, we don't know what, if he is the Health and Human Services guy, and he shouldn't be. 1,000% shouldn't be Bobby Kennedy. Conspiracy theorist. Very intelligent man, but a conspiracy theorist. We have no idea where he would stand. He's for a lot of health issues that I think make sense. Others he just pulls out of his backside. And then when he's talking to a sympathetic crowd, he cites him. Then when he cites others who ask him questions, he starts tap dancing. The evidence is everywhere. Trump's not a smoker. Trump's not a drinker. Bobby Kennedy has talked about dealing with addictions. For me, I mean, would you lose any sleep if they cut back on the nicotine in cigarettes?
No.
I would not.
No, I don't see why I would.
Would you like to see smoking banned completely in this country?
Again, I wouldn't lose any sleep.
I wouldn't lose any sleep.
It would be hard for those with, you know, I guess I would feel sorry for the people that have addictions that have tried to quit.
Yep.
And have tried and have tried and have tried and just can't.
We're making it harder and harder and harder for people to smoke by cost and wear.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Well, it costs you $12 million over your lifetime.
Yeah, right here. Barely so. I'm still reasonably libertarian on this, where I don't want it to affect my life, but if this is what you want to do, you do you. But we all kind of draw our lines where, like, we're going to have John Marty on tomorrow about sports gambling in Minnesota and his pushback. You're a huge sports fan, but you're not for sports gambling. You have concerns about it.
Yeah.
There are people, legitimate concerns about marijuana and alcohol, and some say it should be banned, and others say, I don't want any part of it, but I'm not trying to stop you from enjoying it. Just don't have it affect me. The nicotine, I don't know. If it allows people to quit easier, sounds great. Does it take away from their enjoyment? Does it affect the taste? Does it affect their buzz, the reason why they're doing this? I would love if I never ran into it again, but I'm not creating laws that just suit me. You gotta have laws that affect others, and including where people make judgments I don't agree with. But as long as it doesn't put me in jeopardy, you do you.
Not in this America, you don't.
Yeah, that's
you don't have to worry about anybody else with your laws.
That's probably true. What do you want to say on these smoking topics? We'll include DeRussia. What's your guess? How many cigarettes has Jason smoked in the entirety of his life? Not many, right?
I'm trying to think if he's even wrapped his lips around one cigarette. I'm thinking no. I think he's like me.
Never.
Scared of it.
I'm going to say he has, but it did just nothing for him. That's my guess. The cost and taking nicotine out. You want to squeeze in a text or two? That would be fabulous. 651-461-9226. The correct number is zero because we asked the question.
That's right.
You've never smoked and you have no desire.
I really don't. It's sort of my feeling on marijuana as well that, like, I have plenty of vices. Like, I'm good. I'm not against it. I just don't need to introduce anything new and there's nothing I really want to give up. So,
wait, let's promote smoking dope and take away cigarettes, liberal dumbass. Well, we could try listening. I actually said I don't want to take away cigarettes. I said I hardly smoke at all anymore, and I've been ripping the Democrats in St. Paul on a regular basis. So the dumbass is this Dexter.
You're the dumbass.
Yeah, I showed him. This is the same dumbass who said, let's keep boys away from girls' bathrooms before we take away smokes. Yeah, we can't talk about anything else. And by the way,
so obsessed with bathrooms.
Yeah.
What do people think happens in the bathroom? Like, how did this be? I don't know. Like, the sports issue, valid. The bathroom obsession, super weird.
And look up how frequent attacks are in bathrooms.
Anybody can come in the bathroom with me. I don't care. Who cares?
Well, I don't want anybody.
What do you want to be in there for?
I don't want anyone attacked, but there's no pattern of it.
No.
There's none.
Stupid.
It
just sounds good.
We have two genders. We don't have four genders.
All right. Cool.
Apparently you're a dumbass, too.
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Get people off cigarettes and hook them on marijuana.
It is fascinating. It is fascinating. Like,
people should listen.
That shift, right? And you could go into science if you want.
Yep.
But...
yeah, RFK would be a bad choice. Just look at how much good the current leader of health is doing.
What's the FDA been doing the last 4 years, by the way?
That's my point.
Like, all of a sudden this week, like, hey, I got a bunch of ideas. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Donald Trump should have amazing deference on his picks, but not a guy who lies about vaccines. And that's what RFK Jr. does on certain vaccines. Not all. But certain vaccines, including autism, he lies every single time he talks about it. What do you got today? I saw your tweet. People getting mad at 5:30, is that it?
Yeah, enough. It's our enough segment. So if you use the app, we love it if people send a voice message on the Odyssey app.
I like.
So it's good. Anything you're irritated with. Maybe your favorite sports team. Maybe your favorite afternoon host.
Or dumbasses. All that available?
Let's rank them. Top five at the station.
651-461-9226.